Welcome to the round two Supercoach Coach podcast. It's the bubble episode, so big show this week, and we've got Faz to join us as a special guest.
G'day, guys.
And of course, FB Donkey's joining us as per usual.
G'day, Marcus and Faz.
Unfortunately, Mark's done his ankle, so he's got a bit of an injury today. So
definitely need the ankle for the podcast, mate.
You should see how we dance around while we're talking. It's crazy.
We'll get into the scores and Faz.
Bit of a dejected tone in your voice there, Marcus.
Yeah, it's because we chose to invite Faz on, and this week he so happens to beat the both of us. So let's start with you.
The reason I came on. Scored 22-16 this week, which I was quite happy with. Got 100s and 90s around. Unfortunately, I didn't have the balls to risk Fife. I had Robbie Gray as my vice captain, scored 114. I thought that's probably just enough. And then I checked the scores and see that Nat Fife pulled out a 162. So a huge game. Would have loved to have the C on him for that. But overall, happy with the team. Obviously, a few issues we'll get into in a bit. Mark, how did you score?
I scored 21-68. I did go with Fifey as captain. The big call for me was playing Nathan Brown over Oxley, which cost me 80-odd points. And if I hadn't done that, I would have got quite a good score and gone up the ranking significantly. But ranked about 13,000th, and look, I reckon that's a pretty solid start.
I scored 21-83, so smack bang in the middle of two of you. And sorry to break the trend one week in, Mark. I've pipped you this week, thank God.
Still in front overall, I'm pretty sure.
Unfortunately, the thing I'm most bitter about this round was I had Fife locked in for the captaincy all week. I know he's good against Geelong and one gun get tagged, whatever. Pulled Selwood out last minute, and then for my captain to go down, captain of the team, disappointing loss. So that was a painful way to end the weekend, but it was bad all round. Mark, like you said last week, the Goods Pierce McMillan combo is a little bit shaky, and this week it absolutely capitulated. 0, 10, and 50 points between the three of them. So absolutely terrible scores there, but McMillan hopefully coming back from an injury. Goods, we're going to talk about in a little bit. There's a glimmer of hope there. Pierce is probably the one that looks relegated to the tagging role, but jump into the show. And again,
we've most importantly, mate, we're about 3 minutes in and we haven't talked about the Bombers win.
There's two of you on there. This is bound to come up. So
pretty exciting. I know after last week, Sydney having come over the top of us, everyone was sort of expecting the same thing to happen, and we thought we were gone with 16 points down. But yeah, it was just nice to get away with a win out of that one.
Yeah, absolutely down to the wire.
Going to jump into the questions as we do every week from social media. On facebook.com/supercoachcoach, you can find us there, or on Twitter, we're just at supercoachcoach. Remember, every week, chuck us your questions and we'll get to it during the show. Start off with this week, the injury and suspension concerns. Going to look at these guys first because they're probably a priority trade out. When we're on the bubble, traditionally you look for big targets to trade in to lead your choices. You're looking for guys with huge amounts of value and you're trying to squeeze them into your team before they rise. But in the case of injury and suspension, they take precedence. So we'll start off with the first one and probably the biggest topic for discussion this week. Gary Ablett officially today announced that he's out for an indefinite period. They're talking at least 2 weeks. Some people saying at least four realistically. Gist of it is you're gonna have to trade him out now. I don't think anyone wants $700,000 sitting on the pine, and 2 weeks in it's turned out to be an absolute disaster already. But good thing is we started Ablett because it gives us a wealth of options, so we get to pick from basically anyone tonight. So let's start off the discussion with that. Who do you guys like for the midfield? You can have anyone.
Obviously, Fife and Pendles, if you don't have them, they'd be first two up for me.
I think there are four players that I'd bring in as clearly in if you didn't have them. Fife, Pendlebury, Dangerfield, and Swan. If you didn't have Swan, I don't think bringing him in the midfield is too bad an idea. You can always swap him into the forward line later. He's really good value. I think those would be the four clearly in. Pendlebury, we're going to get to a bit, has a little bit of a question mark over his fitness, but those are the four I'd have. Apart from them, Hellbent has asked that next tier down, and Hellbent's a regular on our forum, so thank you for your question, Hellbent. Sloan or JPK as that next rank down, and they're premier scorers, obviously, and Sloan's looking to improve yet again this year, and Adelaide looking to improve as well. What do you guys reckon about either of those options?
Both great options, I reckon. JPK, durability's outstanding. Sloan's is pretty good too, so can't really split those guys with Adelaide's draw. I think that you'd be pretty happy with both of them.
The other guy who probably wasn't a lock in the preseason, but after two games, maybe should be in consideration considering he was in two losses, Robbie Gray. Now, he's a mid forward, obviously, but if you didn't have him, would you swap him for Gary Ablett? Now, obviously, injury concerns are still there. 118 to start the year, though. What do you boys reckon?
Yeah, Gray did pick up a corky in that game on the weekend, but still came out and smashed the second half. So I'm not sure how we recover from that, but I actually don't have Gray, and I'm more than likely bringing Gray in as my number one target this week.
All right, at that next bracket down, Lewis, Parker, and Wines. Now, last week I pumped up Wines big time, and another good score and a loss. He's averaging 118 now. He'd be my pick, probably my pick full stop outside of the four and maybe Gray that I mentioned before. Where do you guys have Lewis, Parker, and Wines?
I'm kind of thinking Lewis can go 120, whereas I'd be surprised if the other two did. Lewis had a pretty average game on the weekend for the first three quarters, but much like the Hawks did, and then 14 touches in the last quarter got him up to 111. Yeah, he's the number one midfielder in the number one team, so I think that that is a pretty good reason to pick him.
Probably a little bit concerned with Lewis, just with Hawthorn have been known to rest players as they get closer to the finals. Obviously, that's not something you want as one of your absolute jet midfielders to go out. I'm probably more a fan of those top price guys. None of those guys scream out to me, and I probably wouldn't feel confident on bringing any of those three guys into my side.
All right, on to the next question from Luke Firth. Again, injury concern question. Lambert, 6 to 8 weeks he's out for. You could use him for a loophole, or you could trade him and actually make some money in that position. So I think the three of us would probably lean toward that and recommend a straight trade out for him.
Yeah, I think just the length of his injury probably does mean a trade. I do remember back in the past when we had 24 or 20 trades that you'd probably keep a guy like that and wait for them to come back, and that had worked out quite a few times in the past. But I think, yeah, you just need to get that cash generation happening, and you can always bring him in later.
Next question is from Alex Bicknell, and he's asking about the Wells conundrum. We're going to tackle this week in terms of the clear outs and the clear ins and look at them separately, because depending on who you have, your team structure, some people will swap midfields for forwards. There's just a whole bunch of things that can be happening. So we'll look at all the options separately almost. But in terms of Wells, do you guys reckon he's a trade out?
I would probably be looking to move Wellsy on. He hasn't had the start that we'd like. He had an injury concern on the weekend, if I'm not mistaken. He's on the injury list. They said it's just going to be a test, so hopefully he's back this week. But even then, it's an Achilles injury. They're not the best things to be carrying around for the rest of the season. So I'd probably be, jumping off. Otherwise, someone like a Van Berlo, who we'll get to later, he looks like a great option too.
Next question is from Adam Hudson. Should we trade Cripps for Van Berlo? Give Cripps another go. So this is a big question this week. Cripps missed last week with a back injury. Is listed as a test this week. So chance to come back. Carlton absolutely capitulating at the moment. They actually look like a bottom four team. Mick Malthouse under a heap of pressure. You'd think Cripps, high draft pick and second year in the system, they've surely got to play him. So job security, I don't think, is a huge issue. It's just scoring potential. What do you guys reckon for his price tag at 200K? Should we look to cash out now or stick with him?
If I had no other bigger options, I probably would just do Cripps to Van Berlo, mainly because of the job security that Van Berlo has. I think that you're right about Cripps, that he should have good job security, but who knows what Mick Malthouse is going to do. So I think I probably would make that trade if there was just nothing else that I needed to do, but I wouldn't prioritize that trade.
We'll move on to the test candidates now. These guys are all listed as tests today when the injury lists were updated. Pendlebury, Bartel, Delidio, Brody Smith, Josh Gibson, and McMillan. All fantasy relevant and all under a cloud still. McMillan is one that probably hasn't performed too well in his first showing and then missed this week as a mid-pricer. Would you stick with him, Mark, or would you cash him in?
Again, really depends on how many other problems you have in your team. If you really don't have any other ones, and you can use some of the Ablett money to restructure and bring in someone that maybe has higher scoring potential, then I'd strongly consider that. I think Goods is probably a pretty similar case.
I'd say just put the brakes on the McMillan trade just for now, with the fact that the first score was in a huge loss for the Kangaroos. They looked a lot better against Brisbane this week. I think maybe that was just an abomination that first week.
You could also argue, as a defender, he probably got to see a lot more of the ball in that game than he might in other games.
Pendlebury is the other one in question now. There's a chance that he might miss this week, so obviously keep a keen lookout on team sheets. Faz, you mentioned that you're looking to bring him in this week, so obviously look for that. The real question is, if you're trading Ablett to Pendlebury and you have all the other crucial players, you didn't want to take a risk on a more speculative player that isn't certain to be a top eight midfielder. Would you wait a week on doing Ablett to Pendlebury?
Look, Pendles has a pretty long history of getting up even when he does have some injuries, and I would suggest that he's going to be top three scoring mids by the end of the year, so I'd probably take the opportunity to do Ablett to Pendles as long as he's named on the weekend, and then, yeah, I would actually consider waiting a week if there are two other trades I might want to make this week.
All right, now we'll move positionally to take the rest of your questions, and again, we'll look at the ins first and then the outs. So now that all the crucial outs are mentioned, we're probably looking at predominantly huge value, guys that really scream out to bring themselves into our teams. Got obviously a lot of questions about a lot of players who are hot after just 2 weeks of footy, so we need to sift through what's just a two-game blip and what's a sign of a true breakout. So we'll move first to a question from Cameron Lockhead. He asked about Rant's preseason. Yes, we did take his question preseason, I think. What are your thoughts on him now? So, two absolutely massive games. 112, 156 massive games to start the year. What do you guys reckon, Faz?
Just having a look at his previous scoring, I can see a pretty clear trend line from 2011 through 2014. It's been 84, 87, 87, 89. So to me, it seems odd that a player would all of a sudden have a huge jump up and plays as a key defender. He's obviously going to have some weeks where he has to have more of a shutdown role. I think against the Dogs this week, they don't have too many big targets that you have to spend too much effort in. Tom Boyd's still just a pretty fresh guy. Cramery's not really the big dominating forward. Having a look, Richmond have a couple of good games coming up, Brisbane and then Melbourne, so maybe he'll have a few more good scores, but I wouldn't be expecting those huge scores to continue right across the 22 games.
I think in the preseason, my main knock on him was his disposal efficiency, but I was watching the Telecast on the weekend and they said that out of his first 31 kicks of the season, he'd hit 30 targets. So that is obviously helping his scoring. Obviously, he's not going to be able to keep up that efficiency for the rest of the year, but if he's significantly improved his efficiency, I could potentially see him improving an average and going up to maybe 95. And yeah, I think he's actually a pretty good pick and someone I would strongly consider if I was bringing in a premium defender this week.
I think in the preseason, I said I liked how his scoreline was progressing and I didn't mind him then. Just not my cup of tea, but I reckon he's a good enough pick for this year. And if you like him as a pick, go for it. Dean Phelps' question is next. He's asking about Tom McDonald. So another fullback with huge scores playing for Melbourne. 125, 122, 380,000 only. Set to rocket in price. What do you guys reckon about him?
I think he was about 80 at half time against the Giants when the D's were winning. Saw him run down and make Jeremy Cameron chase him, and he actually took a mark in the forward line and kicked a goal. Really rated him as a defender last year. Looks like he's stepped up another level this year. They were talking about him maybe being one of the top six backs in the competition, and I wouldn't disagree with that. I got him in draft and very happy with that. I think that he's a huge risk given the limited amount of games we've seen him dominate, but if you include the preseason, he's had the five scores above 90 in a row, so there is a bit of a trend line there. I think that it's definitely possible he could average 85-90, which would be a huge win at his price.
I agree with you, Mark. Again, I'm not big on picking the key backs, but that's your flavour. Go for it. Next question is about Laird from Arnie123456 on Twitter. What do you guys reckon about Laird? He scored a couple of hundreds, 107 and 98 for 317,000. So even if you don't keep him, he is set to rocket quite a bit even in just the next 2 weeks. What do you think about his long-term prospects, guys?
To be honest, I'm just really big on anyone Adelaide-related right now. I've had a look at the draw that's coming up for Adelaide, and having dispatched North and Collingwood, their next games are Melbourne, Bulldogs, Port Adelaide, Gold Coast, St Kilda, GWS, Fremantle and Carlton. Really only two decent teams in there with Port and Freo. The rest of those games I can see Adelaide dominating. Therefore, I think guys like Laird and Van Berle, who we'll get to later, they're just going to keep scoring well, in my opinion. So I really don't mind Laird as a pick. Problem, I think you guys mentioned on the show last week with Taylor Hunt, is that he's a round 11 buy, which is not ideal for a mid-price player. It gets a little bit tricky if you're looking to turn Laird into a premium later in the season, and that's just the only question mark, but I definitely think he'll continue to score well.
All right, next guy on the run sheet is Doherty. Now, we didn't get a question about him, but he's got huge scores, 147 and 95 in his first two. Carlton's going to lose a lot, and he's playing in the back line, so, I mean, that's pretty good. What do you reckon, Mark?
Look, I think that he's a really good pick. He's a highly touted junior. They got him pretty cheap in the trade deal. Yaron and Simpson are always going to get more attention before he does. So, yeah, I think he's actually a pretty good pick at his price. He's a little bit awkwardly priced, but would definitely be very highly in consideration this week if I was looking for someone in defense.
So, out of the guys that we talked about, who do you guys like the best? Like, if you had to pick one, Mark?
Alex Rance, but he's also the most expensive.
Faz?
Let's chuck up Tom McDonald just to be different.
Cool. I will go with Laird. I think he's a decent stepladder and he'll probably go up in price pretty quickly. I don't think you'll necessarily want to keep him around till the buys if he starts to flag anyway. So he's either keeper or ditch him early. I'd go with him. So in terms of the rookies in the back line, the three that you must have and that you would just absolutely trade to these three, Saad, McIntosh, and Oxley, absolutely dominating the break-even tables at the moment. And again, that's actually available now for the entire season. We'll put them up on a Monday morning on supercoachcoach.com.au. Saad, -118 break-even. McIntosh, -115. And Oxley, -74. So bring them in if you haven't already, but I think definitely have those three and have two of them playing on ground. What do you guys reckon about that?
Yeah, that was my starting structure, so can't disagree with that. I mean, very happy to have a couple of those guys on ground. I mentioned last week Jake Colajasny from Geelong. Hopefully we'll be getting a game soon. So yeah, definitely keeping him in the back of my mind.
So in terms of the back line out, Matthew Donnelly's question is about Brett Goods. What do you do if you have Oxley, Brown, Saad and McIntosh, the four that we talked about? You can't downgrade. So sideways or up, or do you hold on to Goods, hoping he's not the sub again? Where do you guys...
My plan, at least this week, is to treat Goods as if he's pretty much a backline rookie. I've got five backline rookies and I'll play three of them, which might be Saad, Oxley and McIntosh, with Goods maybe even on the bench. You just change the way that you're looking at him in a way. Otherwise, I think I wouldn't go to anyone around his price range. I'd be looking to maybe use some of your Ablett cash to go up.
Personally, I'm looking to keep Goods. That's because I think that he might not be the sub every week. I think Beveridge talked up Goods in terms of his influence around the place. So I think that if he's in, I'd keep him. If he's not, I'd actually look to trade him. I don't think I necessarily want to keep him for the loophole, but that's just where I stand on him. And we'll move on to three other underperforming guys that maybe might be out. And that's Malcheski, Lumumba, and Nunes. Now, if you have Malcheski, I think you definitely trade him out. He's just plummeting in value. Most expensive guy in scoring 60s now. But Lumumba and Nunes, you pick them as breakout candidates. They started out with 280s against relatively average opposition. Where do you guys sit on them?
Look, I couldn't be happier that you're releasing that list of Malcheski, Lumumba, and Nunes, because I was totally against all of them in the preseason. I think Malcheski is the only one that I'd trade them.
I've got Nunes in my side and he's scoring slightly improved this week, put out a 90, so I'm okay with that. Hopefully he can continue on the improve. He's obviously not doing as well as a guy like Swallow did last year. He's not going to be that kind of breakout candidate, but yeah, hopefully he can keep plodding away with some 90s. I'll be happy.
All right, now to the midfield and we'll look at the ins first. And the first question is from the Kraken or Fabregasto on Twitter. He's asking about Dylan Scheel. Is he a good trade-in target or cash grab for Gary Ablett if you already have all the big names?
Another player that's dominated early on in the season that I have in draft. Again, I've just said exactly the same thing about the Giants midfield. I just think that they're going to split the points too much and the tag's going to move around. Awesome start to the season, but he has shown to be a bit injury prone and I don't think he can keep up a 120 average.
All it takes is one poor score. I mean, he's at 500,000 now. His price will just halt completely. I don't think he's a great cash grab. If you really want a cash grab, look cheaper. If you're picking him, you're picking him to keep him for your team. So I think...
Which means top eight mid pretty much.
And yeah, absolutely.
I think we're all a bit questionable on Shields' capacity to do that just yet.
So two big scores, but I don't think in any of our three calculations at all. The next question is from JM Hawkins on Twitter. Is Daniel Rich a must-have? Now, he's got one of the best break-evens, and we have talked them down a little bit. So do we have to review this, Mark? 126, 100 again last week. 348,000 break-even of -21. Has your view changed, Mark?
Not totally. I think he's an okay pick. I probably haven't thought any better of him than that. Still certainly wouldn't think he's a must-have.
Yeah, it just doesn't fit my structure all that well, I guess. And mid-price in the midfield, I almost always stay away from. So I'll probably continue that. I know you said, Mark, you'd be happy if he scored another 100 because the attention would be coming his way. So let's just for our sake, hope that that's the case.
We'll move on to the next question now. At Troy Davey, did we overthink on Nathan Van Berlo's preseason? He and the Crows look very good. Is he a must-have at his price, do you guys reckon? Troy Davey reckons he's probably not a must-have at his price, but I reckon that's probably a little bit up in the air considering the draw that you read out, Faz.
Yeah, I won't do it all again, but for me, yes, I am trading in Van Berlo this week. I've seen the error of my ways. Probably going to be a Cripps to Van Berlo trade, mainly because I don't have too many other issues to deal with. But I can see Van Berlo just getting a nice slice of the pie because Adelaide are going to be having some more big wins and another couple of hundreds, and you've quickly got yourself a guy in Van Berlo that could almost be a side swap to a fallen premium.
Yep, that's a really good point, Faz, and that's why we don't really like the Wallaces or the Riches, and it's because someone like Van Berlo for $150,000 less could pretty much get close to their average. So I would say he's a higher priority than them. Did we overthink him in the preseason? 100% we did. It was a lock for everyone at the start of the preseason. I regret not starting him, and I'll be bringing him in this week.
That's what happens when we talk too much, Mark. 10 weeks, we just went around in circles for some players, I swear. So ended up the wrong end of that carousel. Now we'll move on to the rookies in the midfield. Van Berlo we'd have in that category at that price point, and we all have him as a must-have. So he's one of the four that you're going to bring in. The other three I'd have Ellis Yeoman, Vandenberg, and Heaney, and I think the three of you would just unanimously agree. Got a thumbs up from Faz. Is there anybody else outside of that? Now, obviously, you want to get probably two, maybe even three of these guys on field, ideally, each week. So any other rookies that you guys are tempted by to bring in, if anybody's looking for rookies?
No, more like looking to get the fringe guys out.
We'll look at the outs then, Mark. Two rookie midfielders that could potentially be on the outs, Cockatoo and Miller. Now, Cockatoo we talked about in the preseason, and I flagged that he had probably a little bit low disposal count and so far hasn't performed as well. But again, two huge losses, and he's also been the sub one time. That's not going to happen every game, I don't think. Where do you guys sit on him? Would you just hold on and hope he has one huge game down the track, or would you cut your ties and cash in on? I mean, he is 176,000.
It depends whether you don't have one of the other guys. If you don't have one of the other must-haves, I'd be pretty tempted to trade to them.
If you had all of them, would you bother trading? Would you spend the trade side?
What are you going to do? Trade Cockatoo to Miller so you end up with both of them?
Jed Anderson's the other guy, but he's definitely not a must-have.
Yeah, I think there's some other guys that I haven't brought up, but they're actually playing and they're not doing brilliantly, but serviceable, like Jack Sinclair from St. Kilda, you could argue, that Nelson kid from West Coast. There's some
I think I'd rather playing. Just stick with the Cockatoo or Millers. I don't see them being any, like, obviously worse than those two.
Yep, definitely agree. Just playing devil's advocate. So, yeah, I wouldn't bother side swapping. And I did that last year and actually wasted a trade on it. The player I traded out came back into the team and performed better. So, if they're not even dropped, I wouldn't really think about doing that. Rob Warren or the Dr. Bones on our community. Thanks for your question, Rob. He's actually requesting that we tell him not to trade out Joel Selwood because he's very tempted by Fife and Sloan. Now, Fife's an interesting one. Would you guys consider that Selwood to Fife, or would you just stick tight and know that he'll come around?
A tough one, kind of feeling like Fife is maybe a must have with Ablett not around.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that, and with his that 162, he's not coming down in price, so maybe it sounds ridiculous, but Fife at 650,000 as a bargain.
Yeah, no, I reckon Fife is close to a must have this season, so he's a player that if I didn't have, I'd actually be okay to side swap a premium to.
What about Selwood though? Have you got Selwood, Marcus?
Yeah, I do.
He's not injured, and you don't expect Geelong to lose every week. Like, they lost the first two. You'd expect them to get better, win a bit more, and Joel to start scoring well again.
I absolutely agree with that. At the moment, I'm a sad Geelong supporter, so it's hard not to get emotional and be like, oh no, maybe he won't pump out another 120 season. But look, he's one of the few guys, I think one of only three last year, who started in the top eight mids and just stayed there. It actually fluctuates a fair bit who's in there. Joel Selwood's just a lock for that, and I wouldn't really be keen to trade him out unless it's a guy like Fife. I don't really have anybody else in that category. Pendlebury, if he's playing, probably, but that's probably it. Just because if you don't have Ablett, you want that captaincy option, like you mentioned, Mark. To the rocks now, we'll look at the ins first. There's only one guy that I actually want to talk about. This week, he scored 114, which gives him an average of 93.5. Brody Grundy from Collingwood, 337,000. Talked about his potential before. Collingwood loved the kid. Have already put a lot of games into him. Considering that all the guys are slipping, he's getting number one ruck time at Collingwood. So if he's actually breaking out this year, is it the right time to jump on if you've got a 500k ruck, Mark?
I'd be interested to know which ruck you'd be talking about. Like, would I trade Marek down to him? Probably not. I'd want a really, really underperforming ruckman to be trading to Grundy.
The break-evens of the Ruckman, Mark. Jacobs, 151. Mumford, 155. Martin, 188. Sandilands, 171. Ryder, 161. Marek, 143. Even Nick Nat, who we considered doing well, his break-even's only 92, and he's averaging 97.5. So just across the board, they're dropping, but you just don't think you'd bother fluffing around with the trades?
He sounds like Mark Seabee to me, mate. Which, for the listeners that don't remember that, it just means that once you make one trade, you'd end up making another three or four trades in that decision.
Yep, that was me. And we had 20 trades that year, so I used four trades in the ruck. It was awful. All right, we'll move on to the outs in the rucks. And just last week, talked him up. Scored 27 on the weekend. Berner Ferner on Twitter wants to know about Leuenberger. Martin's killing it. 98 again this week. And Louis just not performing this week. Do you guys reckon it's a concern or it's just one off game? If he gets an off game, surely the high scoring rucks will have off games too this year.
Yeah, look, I don't expect him to score 27 very often. I think he's better than that. But look, I was pretty against picking him from the start just because of the Leuenberger-Martin combination. It's very difficult to score really well as a ruck when there's two ruckmen in the same team. And with Close going down, the Lions are even more lacking for tools in their forward line. So they're going to even more rely on these guys to spend time up there, which is going to affect their ability to get the cheap ruck points. So, look, I would be a bit concerned. He did have a good game and a bad game, though. So, yeah, I think he's almost relying on Martin to get injured to start scoring really well again.
I'd definitely keep him, and I think I would assume that there's a realistic chance that at some point in the season, Leuenberger will string four games together that are 80+, and there'll be a ruckman that's underperforming because the scores are poor this year. They'll really hurt when they underperform, and maybe a Marich or a Minson, if they have a couple of 50 games, which they might not have had last season, but because of the scoring changes have this season, you might be able to get a pretty good side swap opportunity down the road. So I'd just keep your chin up and hope he improves. You took the mid prices in the rucks for a reason because there's good opportunity there, so I'd stick with it. Into the forward line now, and we're going to start with the big name, and Adam Hudson's asked about him. Is Bontempelli a must-have before he goes up in price? So two huge games. First one tagged by a maybe not so fit Scooter Selwood, and the last one sort of ran free. 126, 142. Faz mentioned two big wins. That won't happen every week, but he's a Jet. Surely he can do it.
So the one thing that stood out for me when I had a look through the stats on Bontempelli is that he is averaging 10 tackles per game right now, which is absolutely insane. It explains a lot of why he's having this insane scoring and is just not sustainable. Nobody can... I know that the Dogs are playing a very high-pressure forward press, but you can't get 10 tackles every week. It's never been done before. He averaged 3.4 tackles per game last year. So I expect that his tackles will fall off, so therefore his scoring will drop away a little bit. Also, you'd have to think that some attention is going to go to him. Like, people were talking about him as player of the round from last week, and he's an absolute Jet, a really highly rated youngster. The Dogs' midfield is severely depleted at the moment with no Libba, no Griffin, obviously. I'm a little bit skeptical with Bontempelli. I love watching him play, and I'd love to have him in my team because he's just such an excitement machine. Hawthorn, Adelaide and Sydney coming up, so I can see people being a little bit disappointed with Bontempelli coming into their team over the next 3 weeks.
I don't expect him to average 130 and not even 115, but he just reminds me a lot of Fife at that age, and he's a super talent. Fife was able to average 108 in his second year. That was probably in a better team than what Bontempelli is playing in. And look, I think he could probably average 100 to 105, and that'd be a pretty good get at his price. So Doggies do have a pretty good draw over the course of the season. He's going to definitely have some big games. Like you said, he's going to get some attention. It'll be interesting to see exactly how he handles that. But at his price, I don't think that you could lose too badly.
Yep, I actually agree with you, Mark. I think the only real concern is he's around 11 by player. So if he has a couple of poor games and you think, I don't want him anymore, he's a bit difficult to trade out. But you know, like you said, I do think he's going to improve. I mean, if you look at him in comparison to Harley Bunnell, you are paying a lot less for somebody who, I mean, realistically, I think they're going to do about the same this year. So I like the pick. It's just this time of the year is when you're going for guys like Nathan Van Berlo, Adam Oxley, Adam Sy. Like, prioritize these guys who are going to deliver significant value. Don't be sidetracked by Bontempelli if you've got more significant things to worry about. If you don't and you want to bring him in, I don't think he's a bad pick. Just remember, there's so many high scoring mid-forwards forwards this year. Martin, Delidio, Goddard, Bartel, Swan, Bennell, Bontempelli, Gray. There's heaps. So there's more than there are slots on field. So even if you don't have Bontempelli, if somebody else can replicate it, it's not going to kill you anyway. So if you can get more value from a trade elsewhere this week, do it. He's not a must-have by any means, but he's certainly a great buy. All right, so with that, Mark has unfortunately had to duck off. For all the laughing before, you know, his ankle injury did take him out of this podcast. And he's just a bit run down as well. So luckily we've got Faz on this week and he can finish the show, just the two of us. So the must-have rookie ins in the forward line. I'd have Hogan, Salem and Clark as the main three that you just absolutely should bring in if you don't have them. And then the other two that you'd have as an alternate for that last position, probably McGrath from the Brisbane Lions and Loney. Both small players, McGrath playing at the defense end of the ground and Loney at the forward end. So in a poor team, you could argue that McGrath has a slightly better opportunity for scoring. That's probably how I'd rate them, actually, McGrath then Loney. I don't think either of those last two are must-haves.
My last spot in the team is Tom Lamb from West Coast. I've heard some rumours that he's probably in line to come back into the side this week, so fingers crossed on that. I'm not too concerned just as yet. I don't have any other injury concerns in the forward line, so for now I'm happy just to stick with a Zero and Lamb. Even if he doesn't get named, I'm hoping he'll be back. The fact that they named him round one suggests that they like what they see, and he did well. I thought he was a bit unlucky to get dropped, really. So that's my hope, is that Lamb comes back in. Then if not, then I'll just have to, I guess, look for somebody else in the future. I don't love McGrath or Loney enough that I'm going to use up a trade on them when I think I can do some other things in my team that are more pressing.
It's good that you brought Lamb up first, because he's actually the only forward out that we're looking at this week. I actually have a slightly different view from you. I actually quite like McGrath, and I've got Loney, and I like the fact that they're all going to go up in price and start delivering me value. And I know that Lamb could still come back in, but I'm just worried about Jack Darling, who's scheduled to come back in only 5 weeks. I would just take the opportunity to probably move him on now while there's good rookie options. If you have other trades to prioritize in terms of guys to bring in, I would probably hold off on trading him out. But if the only guy you have to bring in, for example, is Van Berlo, and I'm probably in that situation, if I had Lamb, he'd probably be the guy to actually trade out. So that's kind of where I sit. I've got Goods, I've got Pierce, I've got a few guys that I've got concerns about, but I know they're going to play. And so I'm actually more willing to hold on to those sorts of guys. Whereas Lamb, if he was in my team, he'd easily be the weak link. So that's probably where I see it. With that, that really wraps up this week's show. So that was quite a lot of strategy that we talked about, Faz. I just have one last general question to finish off this week with. Are there any must-have plays? So we covered the rookies. We got Saad, McIntosh, Oxley, Ellis, Yeoman, Vanderberg, Heaney, Van Berlo, Hogan, Salem, Clark. Must-have rookies. Any must-have players, premiums, mid-prices from the range that we talked about today?
Yeah, I reckon I'll go back to Fife. I think Fife is looking like Gaz Mark II, I'd say. After my mistake on the weekend of not trusting him with the captaincy, I'm probably just going to put that perma-captain onto Fife and just leave it on that. And he's just an absolute jet. We've loved him for so many years. Gaz out, I reckon we're looking at a Brownlow medalist in Nat Fife. And yeah, I think just get him right in into your team.
Definitely agree with you. I think he's the only clear, like, absolute must-have. I just do heaven and earth to trade him in. And mainly, like you said, because Ablett is down now. The other guys I might have in that category, Pendlebury, of course, pending that he plays this week. Robbie Gray, I think 118 playing in the forward line. I think what we were fearing has sort of come true. If you don't have Gray and he's pumping out those scores in the forward line, I think you kind of want it. Dangerfield, 116. He's had two higher averaging seasons than his average this year. So if you don't have him, you should have him. And Swan, 105 to start the year, so it looks like he's back. And for his price point, doesn't matter anyway, you probably should pay him even if he's not quite back. Those would be it.
Yeah, can't fault you on those. They look great. I'll just chuck Higgins up for you just to piss you off again, because I know you talked him up in pre-season and then got cold feet, so
yeah,
just mention him. Obviously not a must-have, but I just thought I'd do it to,
oh, absolutely,
to rile you up.
No, and we didn't have you do a team reveal, Faz, so yeah, Faz actually picked Sean Higgins, which is genius. He said he'd pick Sean Higgins when he came on for the podcast, and he stuck through it, unlike me. I just talk too much to Mark and get all this cold feet. No, absolutely great pick for those first two games. One last thing, Faz, in terms of bank, we got some questions. Would you be worried about keeping no cash at all in your bank after this round?
It hurts so much when there's a guy right around the same price that you want, but you just can't get him because you'd used all your cash the last week. Having said that, there's a guy that, from listening to the podcast tonight, that you think is a must-have. I wouldn't not get him just to save cash. So it's a nice bonus, but don't see it as the end goal. You have to have cash because you'll be earning cash elsewhere soon. Now, rookies are about to go up in price, and if you have to downgrade early, so be it later on. But you know, there'll be other chances to get cash. Yeah.
100% agree with those sentiments. Like you said, you're going to be upgrading, downgrading in the future anyway. And it's all about bringing in those must-haves, like you said, this week. That's absolutely the number one priority. And we've said must-have quite a lot in this podcast, and quite a lot of must-have questions were asked. Just make sure you're picking correctly between those must-haves and the guys that you just really like because they're breaking out. Everybody likes to see a breakout candidate. So just be wary that it's not fool's gold. Otherwise, you'll be all sweet. And with that, thank you again, Faz. Massive show this week on the bubble, and it was great to have you on.
Yeah, great to be here. Unfortunately, Mark couldn't make it quite to the end, but
whatever. Now that he's not here, just kidding. No, it's sad that, yes, like you said, Mark couldn't finish with us, but we'll have him back again next week. And to all our listeners, brilliant way to start the season. The Supercoach Coach leagues are doing well. I think our top ranked public league is about 37, and our Supercoach Coach Queens, we've got some new veterans representing us in that group. They're coming 11th, so that's brilliant to see. As the season goes on, hopefully we continue to push toward the top. So thank you for all your support again over the preseason. Supercoachcoach.com.au to find our break evens, to engage with us on our forums. We'll catch you guys next week. See ya.
See you guys.